We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 2nd. I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015. And what's funny is, like, I can't believe it's already December. And it also feels like Thanksgiving was 2 months ago.
Right. I mean, yeah. That was an interesting week.
To start off, how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was excellent. So I went back home. I went up to Lubbock this past week. I was getting a chance to spend some time with my niece and my brother and all that. And that was really, really nice to spend some time with them. Met some of Alex's friends that live up there.
So not home, but family.
Yeah, family home. A little bit more familiar surroundings up in Lubbock. Been around there quite a bit, and it was good to spend some time with those kids. And it was good. We went into Tatum for actual Thanksgiving, which is where my grandmother lives, and that was excellent. Alex just slid right nicely in with the rest of the crew, which is always a plus. But
he was like plus.
Yeah, it was good. It was excellent. Yeah, no complaints. It was a solid, solid holiday for us all the way around. And then we went back into Lubbock Friday, and that's where we ended up watching the game. That's where we ended up getting a chance to catch up with some of her friends. Then I had to turn around and drive all the way to Bonham, but we were doing a Toys for Tots deal that ended up being a good time. It was a good show. So drove back that night because I had to pick up Alex from the airport in Houston the next day. So needless to say, it was a busy holiday for me, and it doesn't get any quieter because we're heading to Vegas this week, but it was a good time. Can't complain. How about yours?
It was good, man. Just kind of real traditional here at the house. Had a little bit of a late meal just because kiddo was working, but absolutely crushed the turkey. It was probably the best one we've possibly ever done in the oven.
Very nice.
It was good, man. It was a great day, nice and relaxing. Unfortunately, just because of work schedules, same thing, kiddo had to work on Friday as well. So we didn't get Christmas up the day after Thanksgiving. So it's like been the weirdest thing ever.
Right.
And then the weather came in on Saturday, and I'm not getting on a wet roof. So we just got the tree up last night. We got the tree and the lights up. We're waiting on the kiddo so we can actually decorate it. But yeah, man, it's outside of Friday night. Saturday we drove out to San Antonio, watched Army play UTSA.
Nice.
It was nice to go see an Army game. I always reminded how small they are when you see them in person. The old adage I always say, Army football, we might be small, but at least we're slow. Actually, that's not fair, though, because one of the wingbacks busted off an 81-yard run. I mean, he straight up outran the defense.
Nice.
Had a pick six. And then I don't know how you even think to do this research before a game, but we left a little early to head back so we wouldn't be getting back to College Station so late. And Army threw a touchdown pass to a tight end. And apparently that was the first touchdown pass to a tight end for Army since 2008.
Good
Who
Lord.
Who even looked that up? I mean,
wait, who has that stat?
It's insane. It's completely insane. But where is that in your show prep?
I appreciate good show prep when you can go and find that information. But who are these people?
Dude, it was he's trying to get promoted from like having to call Army and UTSA games. He's trying to get up in the better games, I guess.
Right.
But I thought that was hilarious. But Army won, and Cowboys won. I mean, the Stars won, Rockets won. I literally outside of A&M, my sports weekend was fantastic. Stars are looking great. Rockets are looking good.
Yeah.
They dropped one last night, but I'm not a massive NBA fan, but I'll always follow my hometown team.
Sure. Yeah, no, hard to complain about all that. I mean, we appreciate always a great holiday, and I'm glad we all got to enjoy that. But good opportunity. Let's go ahead and pivot on into the game. So I would love your initial thoughts just about what took place, and anything to be concerned about?
So I'll kind of start with this. I don't think Texas exposed A&M. I think A&M kind of exposed themselves with some of the warning signs that we've seen throughout the year, but we've been able to overcome, and over and over and over again. And I think that's why even in that game, we're watching it. And if your emotions are getting the best of you because Texas is winning, I understand it, but there's probably still a bit of a calm where you're like, I know at any point we can turn this around. We're not 55 points down, but like the identity crisis that we have finally caught up. We've been a power run bully. We've run spread offense efficiently. We've run tempo, but like we can't do all three of those, in
Right.
one game. And so there were a lot of missed check down, like a ton of missed check downs. And that's kind of what Texas was daring us to do. Marcel had the worst game of the year. It's not even close. Running backs didn't look good. The lines really didn't get pushed around, quite frankly, other than a couple of plays. I know everybody's is freaking out about the lines, but I thought if you go back and look, the lines really didn't get pushed around as much. We just didn't take opportunities that they were giving us.
Right.
And then I felt like in the second half, we were just pressing. We looked like a different team in the second half, and not in a good way. And it's not like we looked great in the first half, but we looked really bad in the second half. But I will say, maybe. And I'm not trying to sunshine pump, but this is one of those things where, all right, man, you've got tape. And what all Texas did was dare us. Like, that's all they did. They dared us to do things and we didn't do them. The easy check downs, the 5 and 10 yard passes that were open more than frequently throughout the game. Us trying to air the ball out, a third and two, and we throw a deep pass. That's just it's like it felt like every single person was pressing, including the coordinators, the players, like all of it. But timing is one of those things where at this point of the year, I mean, if you don't have timing, you're not going to pick it up in 2 weeks. But you've got time to fix things, and now you have tape for a game that you were, for the most part, kind of dominated in the sense that they forced us into decisions that we weren't making. And so you have the ability to look back and realize that it so much was there for the taking it, but we took none of it. Like we literally took none of it. That's offensive and defensive sides of the ball. I mean, you start looking at now we have 12 data points, right? We have a whole season worth of football to look at. Our third down conversion rate is not great on offense. It's
No.
not. And that you got to stay on the field, right? You got to stay on the field on offense, and you got to get off the field on defense. The defense has been good, but there's too many 15 and 20 plus yard chunk plays that we're allowing. It's just on a regular basis. I don't think the offensive line for Texas didn't open up these huge gaping holes. They opened up holes, and our linebackers jumped the wrong gaps. And I think that's where you see some of the pressing and some of this stuff is Coast Ag on Texas Ag was kind of putting out. But like again, so red zone conversion rate, right? I looked it up. It was I think 35 out of 55 or something like that. We're at a 65% clip of touchdowns when we get into the red zone. And you need to be close, like you need to be in 70 to 75% range. Like that's what championship teams do, is they convert around 70% plus in the red zone. So you've got to find a way to score touchdowns when you get down there. There was another stat I found. So when it comes to like explosive play differential, talking about national champions, they're generally in the +7 to +10% range, and we've been in like the +2 to +4% range. And that's the differential between how many explosive plays we have and how many explosive plays we give up. And those can be an incredibly high leverage moments, right? And so these are things that got to get cleaned up. Just the question is, can we?
That's certainly a something to analyze and keep an eye on. As far as like the flow of this game, and you talked about it. You talked about pressing, especially in the second half, and it felt like we were just not like we weren't in the right mindset to get back into this football game at times. And it makes me ask a question. And that's just not just for football, but maybe across the athletic department. Do we have a Texas problem as Texas A&M? And what I mean by that is there was all the hype, all the push, and I understand that the players and everybody says, like, this is like a week over week, we're always focused on the next one. But do you just almost overshoot? Maybe try to put 110% when you can only hit 100%. Why are you putting 110% against a team? And then that's going to force you to have mistakes, to make problems later. I mean, both of the interceptions that took place in this game were both inexcusable passes. And if you look at some of the other issues, like bad angles being taken, are you trying to push forward too much on a tackle? I don't know. It's just a question being floated out there, but I'm just wondering, like, are we too focused on trying to get over that Texas hump that we just, we don't just focus on the team that's in front of us and not the logo on their helmet?
I don't think that's necessarily the issue. I saw some comments, and I haven't gone back and watched the whole tape or anything. Mostly just because it'll piss me off. some people were talking about there were, the people that have gone back and looked at the tape talking about guys that, weren't really playing at, 100% speed. It was almost like we've got the playoffs, so screw it. And that's,
That's
and
true too.
I, and you know, and if that's true, and I'm not saying it is, but if that's true. That just goes to show you probably the exact opposite is the fact that
Sure.
these people don't hate Texas. They didn't grow up with this rivalry. They didn't grow up,
That's true too.
and you'll see more of this kind of across college football as well, I think. Just the passion of rivalries. It'll never change with the fans, but it'll change with the players because, in the world, in today's NIL and transfer portal world, you're pulling players from all over the country because all you're
That's
trying to do is have the best team, right? And gone are the days where all you have to do is recruit in high school, Texas high school football, and you can win national championships. Like those days don't exist anymore because a lot of those kids are willing to go out of state as well. So I think part of it is, if it's the whole, they kind of their effort looked like they knew they were in the playoffs, then that's not a Texas problem. That's a player problem because they don't
sure.
have the same passion for the rivalry that we do. And I'm not saying it's necessarily a problem. I don't expect some dude that just transferred in play this year to understand it, but you're just going to see more and more of that. You go back and you listen to these films with Stephen McGee and Bucky Richardson, and the way they talk about playing Texas is like it was personal, man. Like it was personal. And as fans, it'll always be personal, always will be, right? Like we don't take years off from the rivalry even if we don't play them.
No,
And
that was, I mean, true throughout this entire last, 14, what was it, 12 seasons that,
yeah.
I mean, we're talking the fact that, I mean, even coming into these last few games, I mean, you saw it in the stands. I mean, throughout the videos, I mean, people just, it's very clear to me that, yeah, it's definitely, it's stronger than it's ever been in terms of like the fan back and forth. But even with that being the case, I mean, it's gonna hurt for the fans for you not getting that pulled off. And maybe that's something that players, as time go on, they start to start to re-understand what the rivalry's about. At least that's the hope. But I'm not sure if that's ever gonna be the case, at least in this current format.
Well, it's almost like it's going to take a handful of times, whether it's one school or the other, when that, one school is having a terrible year, right? And but they come up and bite them and ruin their season, kind of thing.
Right.
Like you're a 4-8, you're a 5-7 team, and this team is on the cusp of making the playoffs. They come up and bite you and beat you.
Kind of like what we
Then,
did to LSU in like, what was it, 22?
yeah. And like so for that's a Texas A&M LSU is a perfect example. Older
Yeah.
fan base, that rivalry has never stopped. I have never stopped disliking LSU just because we weren't playing, quite frankly. Because I remember all those non-conference before Southwest Conference play started games. It was a pillar of the football season, and they took their ball and went home. But I never stopped disliking LSU the entire time. We got to start playing them again, but we never beat them. And so LSU fans didn't take it seriously. They're like, A&M's just whatever, man. Nobody cares. They probably pictured us like Mississippi State and Ole Miss, like the Mississippi schools. But now that we beat them a handful of times, LSU, the hatred and the rivalry has started to come back. We've beaten them when it mattered to them, right? Like it didn't necessarily matter to us. It's when it mattered to them. And that's where you start to see the rivalry start to kick back up. And that's what it's going to take. I mean, we've only played them twice, right? And it's only been back for 2 years. It's easy for A&M fans now, like newer A&M fans, like younger, former students and even current students to dislike LSU because we've been playing them for enough years, right?
Sure.
I think some of it may just take time. It's just going to take time to understand like how much we're supposed to dislike the Sips.
Right. And that was very interesting, running out the bonfire too, because it felt like the crowds. I don't know if it's just the fact that people don't necessarily know where it's at all the time. I know they finally found their spot, but I mean, it wasn't nearly the crowds I've seen in the past, So I'm wondering if there's a little bit of that going on too. But yeah, it was a weird dynamic across the board as far as the game. All of the talk afterwards and puffing out the chest. I will say this for our friends over there in Austin. If you're going to sit here and trash on A&M in Oklahoma, then please don't use them as your crutch to try to make the playoff. Just pick a side on that. I know
Yep.
it's been brought up a bunch, but I mean that's essentially where my thought process was. You won a game. You won a game convincingly, especially in the second half. I mean, Arch looked great. Your team outplayed us in the second half. There's no question about it. Congratulations on the win. You looked really good in that game, and that should be a nice little resume booster for you. It's not going to be enough to eclipse what happened in that Florida game. It's not going to be enough to eclipse your other two losses that you already have to get you into the playoff at this stage. At least it shouldn't.
And what's crazy is it's not like you can look at it statistically. It's not like they blew us out of the water in the box score either.
No.
It's those two interceptions were just so costly, but kind of an inability to truly get the run game going. So
Yeah.
that's one thing where you're like, I think we have a great stable of backs, but Moss is just at a different level, and getting him back is going to be absolutely key to everything else.
Huge. Yeah.
Because if you can moderately contain our rushing game, and you put the like and you just put the onus on Marcel, and he keeps throwing deep balls. The overall accuracy of the deep ball for almost any quarterback really isn't that high, and not in college at least. It's a risk play,
It is.
right? I mean, especially if you're throwing deep into any kind of coverage, and so it's there's a lot to get cleaned up. And the very first person that needs to go back and watch that tape, quite frankly, is Colin Klein.
Yeah,
Like he
absolutely.
needs to go back and look at that tape, because when he sits down, well, I'm sure, we're days past this now, but and then the very next person, like he needs to watch that tape so when he sits down to watch it with Marcel, he can explain exactly why, and then he can explain some of the calls that he made. Because quite frankly, like this is all about ownership, right? Like you got to own up to your bad plays. You can't just take the good plays and not own up to the bad plays. And so it's taking accountability, which I don't think is an issue within the program. Trust me, I
No.
don't think accountability is an issue at all by any means. But it's just one of those things where every single person in that program has really got to look at the tape, look at themselves. And there's a lot of work to get done if we're still talking about winning a national championship. I'm not talking about winning a game. I'm talking about winning a national championship.
Right. So the way that looks now, especially with you, in all likelihood, I know, there's going to be some movement here, but in all likelihood, you are a first round host in a playoff game is where you're going to end up falling, right? I mean,
There's
that's just.
no way they get a bye. Absolutely no way. Like I don't think it mathematically can work out.
I don't see it happening outside of that. That's going to be something interesting. I know we're going to get into playoff talking here in a minute, but I'm going to be curious to see what they do with Ole Miss. I'm going to be curious to see what they do with a few other teams kind of in and around as they win and lose. Because let's say that Alabama wins the SEC title. Are they going to jump all the way up to have because what they're like ranked, what, 10th right now? Are they going to jump all the way up to number four and slide into a
I
bye
don't think
week?
they can. I don't think they can.
Right.
But again, it's like some of this is style points too. I mean, what if they lose on a last second field goal, or what if they
Sure.
win on a last second field goal, as opposed to like, if they blow the doors off of Georgia, then we're talking different. So all of a
Right.
sudden, these conference championship games, the margin of victory and the eye test is going to play a huge role in this. Because let's
No
say,
question.
like Ohio State squeaks by Indiana. I mean,
Sure.
does Indiana fall out of the top four?
I don't think so.
What if Indiana beats Ohio State by 28?
Right. What happens to Ohio State in that situation? Probably falls to the bottom of the buys, I would say, because
Right.
their whole thing is you losing your conference game is not your conference title game shouldn't punish you for the playoff. And I agree with that. I think Alabama should be in even if they lose to Georgia because they've made the conference title game at this
Yeah, I
point.
mean, unless they just get pantsed like
Right.
63.
Which I don't think happens.
But what if Ohio State comes out and just beats the brakes off of Indiana? Do they fall out of the bye? I think it's possible.
It could be. I mean, you never know.
I mean, look who Indiana's played. Absolutely freaking nobody. And so their first test of the year, late in the year, and they get their doors blown off. Like, does Indiana slip to five? So it's just, and the one thing we're not factoring in at all is the morons on the committee. So who knows what's going to happen, quite frankly. But the only real rankings that matter, no matter how many times they do that, are this week's and next week's. These are the only two sets of rankings that truly matter. And I know they don't take polls into account in theory,
In theory.
but there's no way they don't take polls into account because they're not sitting there and watching every single game. Like, unless you were to watch every single game, and we'll say even the top 30 teams, because you can pretty much name the top 30 programs every year. You just can't. Okay. It's always going to be the same. That's just how it is. But those polls affect them because it affects when they come in initially, and there's initial rankings are how they start going from there. So it's the whole thing is freaking weird. But Ole Miss is just going to be really interesting considering, what the committee has put out as far as their guidelines and what they look at. Ole Miss lost everybody on the offensive side of the ball. And I know that Chambliss is a great story and a fantastic talent. I watched the Egg Bowl. That kid is good at football. Sidebar, that Mississippi State freshman might be a good one. But what makes Ole Miss special? These aren't the Land Sharks from 4 years ago, right? This is we'll just throw up 50 points and see if you can try and keep up. Our defense is good enough. They almost remind me of us in 2013, except for they have a defense with a pulse. Right? In 13, we just didn't. Our defense was terrible.
And that's something to keep in mind. I've already kind of mapped it out in my head, just the way that everything kind of played out. And if there is a scenario where A&M, which there will be multiple, but a scenario where A&M does not win the national title this year, if I had to pick a team to win it, I want it to be Ole Miss. Strictly because that would be the ultimate middle finger to Lane Kiffin.
That would be pretty solid.
It would be, I mean, that's my fan theory. That's what I want. If we don't get what we want, that's what I want to happen. Just because that would be the ultimate, one of those moments for Lane. Because my God, what a human being.
I'll do you one better. And this is kind of a very, I mean, I don't even know if this could actually happen. I guess it all depends on seeding. It somehow comes down to A&M and OU in the national championship, and Texas doesn't make the playoffs.
They would be in hell. I mean, consider this for a minute. Consider this for a minute, right? Texas, who took down Oklahoma, who took down A&M. They're two big rivals. And they have to sit back and watch not only those two teams, but Texas Tech and North Texas potentially. Also being in the playoff while you're sitting at home at the Cheez-It Bowl or doing whatever you're doing, I don't care. Enjoy Cheez-Its. There's nothing wrong with them. They're great food, but they're not going to get you a national title this year. It's just not going to happen. And I will say this, the groveling on the internet has to stop. Have a little pride. Just accept the fact you're not going to make it this year, and that's okay.
I've got another scenario that would be hilarious.
What's that?
Vandy gets in and they somehow get seated up against OU in the first game, and Texas gets left out of the playoffs.
That would be pretty funny.
And OU like beats the doors off of Vanderbilt. There's a lot of scenarios for a lot of enjoyment, which is just going to fill social media with all kinds of vitriol.
It's funny. We're talking about hypothetical matchups. That's a really interesting game in hindsight because you have an outstanding offense against a team that lives and breathes on its defense. Otherwise, they fall apart. I mean, that would be a hell of a game. Like, if Vanderbilt breaks it open, Oklahoma can't catch up.
It would be a good game.
I think it'd be
Unless
a very interesting game,
Mateer figures it out.
which he very well could, because once again, this is the second season. This is the time. I mean, you're talking for A&M right now, 4 games. Your mindset's 4 games, right? You get first round, and that's at home. Amazing. I mean, you're gonna be playing at Kyle Field. In all likelihood, you're looking at either Virginia, who very likely could win that game. If they don't. That gets really interesting. But the fact is, if Virginia, yeah, I mean, Virginia at Kyle Field, I don't hate that matchup. If it's us against a group of five team at Kyle Field, don't hate that matchup. And then you get paired off into the Cotton Bowl or you get paired off into Sugar Bowl, wherever you end up going. At that point, we will further analyze the actual playoff seeding once we see it for sure. But
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the committee does with us, and it'll be interesting to see what the committee does with Ole Miss this week, like for these rankings. And
right.
then post conference games, dude, who knows, man? Sometimes I feel like this committee just throws darts.
Well, considering that it's all a computer model that they use, and then they just make slight tweaks based on visuals, and that's very slight tweaks. If I could have anything, I would just take
If
what the
I could
BC.
have anything.
If I could have anything, I would love the BCS computers. And those are just boom in front of your face. Everybody knows, like, these are the rankings. Right? And then let the committee do whatever it's got to do as far as like putting certain teams in. Like, yeah, we say we want a group of five team up in there. Cool. You can make those movements to make that work. But lean on what everything is telling you because clearly there's some bias that comes into play, and nobody wants that in a playoff scenario. We don't want bias. Bias is silly.
Yeah, the auto bid stuff is something to revisit, quite frankly.
No question.
And it'll be really scrutinized if Duke wins. Like,
Yeah.
that's really the biggest question. If Duke can beat Virginia, you'll have a five-loss Duke team. Does a five-loss team deserve to be in any playoff?
And they won't be. That's the thing. What that opens up is, you know, if you look at what they've said, it's the top five ranked conference champs. Not necessarily power forward champs, but top five conference champs that are ranked. If Duke wins the ACC, they're still not gonna be ranked. They're five loss team. So what's gonna happen? You're gonna see JMU, assuming they win. Right, you'll see JMU in there. You'll see the American champ between what was it, Tulane and North Texas.
So North Texas, that one's funny. So Tulane is 10-2 and they're ranked. North Texas is 11-1 and unranked. So they would have to get ranked, which means they have to absolutely win this game. But you figure if they win, they'll bump them into the rankings.
Absolutely.
Because they'd be 12-1.
Yeah.
I mean, how can that not be a ranked team? And I get that that conference isn't crazy, but we're talking about 25th in the country,
That's a
24th in the country.
ranked team. Put them in. Absolutely. And I would say if they beat Tulane, they've more than earned that.
Yeah, that's basically the conference swap, is the ACC and the AAC. If Virginia wins, they're in, right?
Right.
But if Duke wins, then it's probably going to come down to the AAC championship. So that's a
Right.
straight swap in my mind.
Yeah, I agree.
That doesn't allow for anybody to move up or move down. It doesn't matter.
Right. So
Yeah.
that's something that has to be considered, especially with all these at-large bids. And I mean, you're still talking about Miami being in that conversation. You're still talking about,
Notre
you know,
Dame.
obviously, you know, Vandy being in that conversation. There's a lot of, I mean, Notre Dame's in there too. Granted, you know, two losses, but these are all two-loss teams that are still sitting ahead of Texas. Like they're just, unfortunately, they're just too far back in line, I think.
Yeah, I can't see a scenario where Texas can get in, quite frankly. And if you want to get in, beat Florida. I mean, that's honestly, that's it. It's
It's
not
easy as
don't
that.
schedule Ohio State, it's beat Florida. That's where it is.
Okay, and to that point, the scheduling Ohio State thing. If you win that game, that's like your biggest hat you can hang.
You could have
It's
lost
simple.
to Florida if you'd have beat Ohio State.
Right. And if you rewind the clock a little bit, let's look at last season. You beat Michigan, and I guarantee you there wasn't a single Texas fan that was like, oh man, guess we shouldn't have scheduled Michigan. Like, get out of here with that. Win those big non-con games. You know, that's what we did this year, and that's our biggest hat we've been able to hang is beating Notre Dame on the road.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way of things. You got to play those big out-of-conference games, and you have to win them.
Well, I will say, like moving to nine games, I'm all about swapping like an Ohio State for a Purdue.
Sure.
Meet your requirement because you had like you just. I'm not a fan of the nine game schedule. I'm just not. I wish they would retract that, quite frankly. But I know it's a little too late to. Well, it's never too late to do anything, quite frankly. But I wish they would have tried to go back to eight, because at eight games, at eight conference games, especially in the SEC, like that is a ton of data. And then you can go schedule that Notre Dame, you can go schedule Ohio State, you know, you can go schedule Miami. I mean, when you add that extra conference game in there, that's an opportunity for a win, but it's also an opportunity for another loss. And you're going, well, I understand, like maybe not wanting to play the world beaters, but again, you scheduled this game years and years and years ago. Okay,
Right.
so this is just how this works. It's not like you made a phone call in May and you're like, hey, you guys want to throw down the first week in college football?
Right.
This stuff is playing way in advance. So it's just all the hoo-ha on social media is it's they're just kind of they're whining. That's all it is
Well,
whining.
and you're gonna see it this next year, because I mean A&M's got oh, we got Arizona State next year. Like teams around that level, you want to get a team like them in there. You want to get a team like Virginia Tech in there potentially. You want to play those type of teams, because that is a power four team that you're going to be playing. But you don't necessarily have to shoot for the big dog all the time. You can go get other teams in that conference and play them, and that still qualifies for what you want.
But you know what else you're not going to do? Cancel the games already on your schedule and look like an absolute clown.
Absolutely don't do that. That is just, it's
That's a wrong answer.
silly.
It's a wrong answer.
It's the wrong answer. And with the pivot to nine games, if there is one thing I do appreciate about that going forward, I do like the fact that you do, with the SEC setup, you get your three teams that you maintain, but you get a lot more spread on playing the rest of the conference final. We get regular trips to Georgia finally, and Kentucky finally comes here, or we finally go to Kentucky, that kind of thing, where we're getting these games. Just a lot, we're not stuck playing the same people all the time, and that will eventually eliminate this, hopefully, this talking point of, oh, they played a weak schedule this year. Well, you can only play the people that are in front of you, and unfortunately, the people that were in front of us that were supposed to be good ended up not being that way. Which also brings up the conversation about preseason polls, which we all know are just complete and utter horse hockey, but the media has to talk about something.
Yeah, I mean, so preseason, you picked us to go 8-4, 5-3 in conference. You had a loss to Notre Dame, LSU, Mizzou. Is
And
that
I think
right?
Arkansas, right?
Arkansas, LSU, and Texas.
And Texas, yeah.
Yes, you had us 8-4. I had us losing to Notre Dame. I had us losing to LSU, and that was it. Now, mine's obviously always gonna be a little bit more maroon Kool-Aid-ish,
Sure.
but Missouri, good team.
Good team.
Yeah, good team. They're what, ranked 22nd last week, I think.
They might have been.
Arkansas, awful.
Yeah, no, they're
LSU,
terrible.
mid. Notre Dame, obviously a great game, but just talking about in conference and teams that we thought were gonna be real big challenges, gonna be difficult. They just weren't. It's just all there is to it.
Yeah, and you and we and that's something you can't control as a fan. I mean, a lot of people weren't expecting A&M to step up this year either. So,
Yeah,
I mean, we were picked mid-table,
I'm sure there were a handful of teams that had us chalked up as a win.
Yeah. So that's one of those things where, like, you can't control those things. You can only do what you can only play the games that are in front of you. You won all but one of those games. You positioned yourself perfectly fine to be not only in the playoff, but now you get that first round playoff game. And a lot of talk this week about, well, would you prefer to have the bye? Would you prefer to play the game? Obviously, a bye is nice because you want to relax and you want to get that in there. I don't hate playing the extra game because the way the schedule sets up, I mean, we're not playing another game until what, the 19th or the 20th, in all likelihood. And that'll be at home. Plus, at that
Well,
point, you
you
got
love
your
that.
Well, yeah, you love that because you get your feet back under you, while the other guys have still been resting on their laurels, sitting on their butt for an additional week. So, I'd be curious to see how that shakes out. If it's kind of a similar situation to last year, where teams that played in the first round just have a little bit more going for them. I don't know.
Well, another thing that you can control, unless you're one specific school, is who you hire
Right.
and who you fire. And so I want to kind of get in the coaching carousel, and we'll start off with not the obvious, right?
Right.
So I just want to go down the list real quick of like all the new hirings that have been announced so far. JMU coach going to UCLA. I don't hate that.
No.
Coastal Carolina just canned their coach. Summerall to Florida. We've been talking about Summerall for a while. I like that coach. I was gonna like the whoever got him, and I think that with Florida being out of the the Lane drama, I feel like he was probably one of the best ones out there.
I think it's funny because the comparisons of John Summerall to what Billy Napier was coming in are too funny to not ignore. I mean, two-time Sun Belt champ, team that the guy that drug a program back up in, down in that Sun Belt or Sun Belt American that region. It's a very interesting parallel, but I like John and I like to see him do well. I think he did everything he needed to do to make Tulane a great program. I'm hearing some heavy rumor that apparently Tulane might be looking into Ed Orgeron, which for me would be amazing.
That would be an absolute ballpark hire, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you get the most Cajun-y man you could possibly have and throw him in New Orleans with the
And
Green Wave.
into a program that's on an upswing. It's doing well. Like,
Yeah.
they're not having to come in and do a full rebuild. And if they
No.
hire him, I don't think Tulane has to be as concerned with players portaling out because
No.
everybody's probably going to want to play for him. From all reports ever, players love the dude.
Right. I don't hate that idea at all. So be curious to see what happens.
That would be hilarious. Auburn, that I dude, if I were an Auburn fan, I would not be thrilled about that. Hiring Alex Golish out of South Florida, I think it's a lame hire. When it had you acted faster, you could have had Summerall, you could have had a better candidate. I think Auburn just took too damn long to figure it out, quite frankly. And I'll tack on Arkansas on that too, hiring the Memphis coach. I don't. That's a complete head scratcher. It's like Arkansas just doesn't care about football anymore. I mean, I don't.
The students had a protest on campus, which in my head, I'm like, man, I would have had a protest online because clearly that worked for us.
Well, they don't have internet in Arkansas.
Ouch. I'll say this, man. I just don't understand what's going on at Arkansas, man. They have just completely lost the plot. I don't get
Yeah.
it.
I would have no faith in that AD at all. Jim Mora hired by Colorado State. Is that dude like 90 years old at this point?
Gotta be getting close.
Eric Morris from North Texas hired by Oklahoma State. I actually really like this hire.
Yeah, me too. I think it's dope.
Oklahoma State's it's I don't think it's the easiest sell like to coach. And so I think this is a really good pickup. It might be one of the better pickups of this carousel.
Mike Gundy built that program. I mean, he got that program up to a point where, I mean, they were so close to being in the national title in 2011. In fact, probably should have been. But you're talking about a really solid football program that was built from the ground up that became largely not just a contender, but a fighter consistently in the Big 12. And I think in the current state of the Big 12, yeah, you put the right guy up there, he's going to be competing with Texas Tech. He's going to be competing with all those guys. I mean, they're going to be plenty solid, I think.
Kentucky hires the Oregon offensive coordinator. That's probably about as top tier as they're going to get. This one I found interesting. I didn't think Pat Fitzgerald would ever leave Northwestern, and so he's headed to Michigan State. I think that one's crazy.
Sure. Very interesting.
I love the Ole Miss move by not putting an interim tag on him and just giving Pete Golding the job. I think that's their best hope to keep players.
Right.
I think. I'll tell you what, you want to talk about LSU and Ole Miss not liking each other. You want to see some vitriol, watch a mass exodus of players from Ole Miss to LSU, and like it would not shock me for there to be investigations kind of thing.
For sure.
That one would be.
Well, and to that point, let's talk a little Ole Miss and let's talk a little Lane Kiffin here for a second. Something very interesting came out that apparently Nick Saban was largely helping out with this move. Putting in some work, putting out some feelers about and suggesting Lane go. How is there no conflict of interest, especially with ESPN and all of that? I'm legitimately curious.
ESPN, same agent. Like, Look, this is a college football is a dirty world these days. It is. It's just like anything else. You know, things always get really bad when this much greed and money is involved. And the whole thing that Ole Miss never, or Lane Kiffin never even looked at a number. He just wanted to know what they were gonna. That is the biggest load of horse crap on the planet that he told his agent he didn't want to know the number. That is just an absolute bald face lie, straight up. So it's just that whole saga, man. I don't want to get into it, man. It's like I hope he falls flat on his face. I hope. In fact, you know what? I hope he does great and they vacate all his wins because of recruiting violations. Because things get dirty down there with the Cajun Mafia. Lane had his life like in place. He was happy. Everything was good in Oxford. And that's why, you know, I'm kind of on the train with you a little bit. Like, I'd love to see Ole Miss win a national championship just to spite him.
Well, and the thing for me with Lane, it just the amount of fake. I mean, the whole situation with Juice, his dog. That's not his dog, apparently. The amount of texts that have come out from these group chats involving him at Hot Yoga and other things, and some of the things he has sent to these very young girls in college. I mean, this dude's a piece of work, and I regret ever giving him even a little bit faith that he was trying to play the long game and be cool about it and try to screw over LSU. In fact, he was exactly who we thought he was.
Yep.
Dang it. But, it's like I'm gonna quote Ron White here real quick. Trying to get a man who likes strange to quit liking strange is like a man is like a dog who likes to kill chickens to quit getting them to kill chickens. They don't know what you're talking about. Lane is going to run off and do what is absolutely best for him. He's done that at every freaking program he's ever been at. The dude's a piece of work. And guess what? We have to deal with his ass again for the foreseeable future until he inevitably either gets canned for recruiting violations, if he gets canned for other reasons, or he's just there for a long time and LSU's just going to let it ride. But regardless,
No, he pulls a Lane and he just finally decides to leave randomly.
goes to Alabama or something stupid. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him within
You
like the next several years, even.
know. Well, you know who won the coaching carousel, at least so far?
Who do you have winning it
Virginia
so far?
Tech.
Oh, Virginia Tech all day. Absolutely.
Virginia Tech picking up James Franklin, I think, is a fantastic move for all parties involved.
Home run, grand slam, whatever word you want to use for it. But I mean, Penn State still doesn't have a guy, man. In
Yeah,
fact,
that's insane. Like they just did nothing. Like
they were
it's
the
like Penn
first
State won.
ones.
Yeah, they were way out in front of the line, and
They still don't have anybody.
it's like they think you're not allowed to sign anybody until after the playoffs are over.
Here's the thing. Okay, Penn State. Well, let's talk Penn State for a quick minute. Did you see what the AD posted? Okay. So I'm going to assume, because this was from his official account, I'm going to assume that this was a hack, that somebody went in there and hacked this.
Oh no.
But he has hashtag we are completely effed. I have no idea who to hire. And effed was not censored.
There's no way. No, I'm saying like.
That was from his official account.
3,000
Now,
followers.
the thing is, I think it was a hack job. I think somebody hacked it. But regardless,
Oh my gosh, that is absolute gold, dude. That is gold.
and the funny thing is, I fully believe that very well might be the actual mindset. Because if you're talking Penn State right now, this is a program who fires a playoff coach with zero plan of who to hire on the backside of it.
None. None. Yeah, that's the old saying, right? Like every AD, every good AD has a list of coaches in his drawer, right? In this top drawer for every sport. I mean, who are you going to get at this point? I mean, you are literally going to have to pull somebody away, which means you're going to have to not only give him a contract, but probably pay his buyout.
Yeah, dish out a ton of money. And is he going to be a clear and obvious step up from James Franklin? The answer is no.
I mean, you're not pulling Drake, you're not pulling Elko, you're not pulling Kiffin, you're not pulling Sumrall.
No.
You're not even pulling Pat Fitzgerald.
You're pulling nobody.
Dude, watch. They'll like hire Napier.
That would be amazing. Jimbo Fisher.
Be better
No.
than Napier.
Better than Napier for sure. I mean, but people were saying, I mean, people were already talking about the fact that Jimbo might be looking at a Group of Five job if he decided he wanted to jump back in. I don't hate that. But it's the Penn State
He
situation.
should go to Texas after starting to leave for the
That
NFL.
would kind of be the ultimate move. Like, a lot of these Texas folks coming along and saying, well, we need to change aspects of, like, I mean, like, I'm talking about TV contracts and all this other stuff, trying to force their way into the playoff. And, you know, if you end up not making it and Sark, any of this news about Sark comes out that apparently might be floating around, I don't believe any of it. But if it does come out and he decides he's going to step away, that would be certainly interesting. That's all I know for sure. But I don't think that's going to happen.
No, he's not going anywhere.
I think it's just a big pipe dream for people who just want to see their downfall. And I mean, just appreciate what it is right now, which is a non-playoff playing Texas team. That's just who they are. But it's a weird carousel, and it's not done yet.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of these coaches that got hired, I mean, those teams are gonna have to figure out stuff too. All right, man, let's get to picks. We got championship week this week. Last week you went 3-2, I went 4-1. The only
Yeah.
difference was I picked Cougar High and you picked Baylor. That was the
Right, and
one.
that was the screw you pick because I didn't want to. Because I hated that you picked that game.
Well, Baylor was favored, so it wasn't a terrible pick by any means.
No, it wasn't a terrible pick. I didn't even look at it whenever you asked. I was just like, no, I'm just going to throw that one in there.
Well, these games, you should pretty much know what I'm doing. So we're going to start with the AAC Championships at 7 p.m. on, well, it's on Friday. Yeah, it's on Friday at 7. I was like, prime time. Different day. 11-1, North Texas playing number 24, Tulane. Tulane is 10-2. North Texas is favored by 2.5 points in this one.
That's an interesting game. I really like what I've seen out of North Texas ever since that USF loss. They have been just crushing people at times. Tulane's a good football team. That much I have no doubt. But yeah, Tulane on this backstretch, absolutely smoking people. I mean, they give up a lot of points, but they're dropping over the last three games. They've dropped 50 plus in every game. They've looked absolutely outstanding. Tulane on the other side of the coin. They've got a lot of good stuff. They've been playing very well, of course, ever since that UTSA loss. In fact, with a complete shutout there of Charlotte there at the end of the season. But if I had to pick, man, I'm leaning North Texas. Mean green.
Yep, same here. I'm taking North Texas.
Mean green.
My mom's alma mater. All
Yeah.
right, so on Saturday, the 11 a.m. game, both teams are 11-1. You got number 11 BYU and number 5 Texas Tech. Tech is favored by 12.5.
Yeah.
I think that line is a little bonkers, and I think it's based off of I think it's too much based off of when they played last. I wouldn't bet the spread on this one, but I'll take Tech.
Yeah, I mean, I have no reason to pick against Tech. I mean, they've looked outstanding. I mean, the one loss they've had this year was with the backup quarterback, and it was a last second loss. I mean, ever since then, they've continued to do what they've been doing all season, just absolutely destroying people. And
Then why you pull it off?
I could see BYU making it a far more competitive game than last time, but I just don't see them. I mean, I would pick the sp I would I would pick. I would pick them to cover, but I don't think Texas Tech is going to let them get the dub in this game. I got the Red Raiders.
All right. Go to the SEC Championship. It's 3 o'clock on ABC. We got number 4 Georgia and number 10 Bama. Georgia is a 2.5 point favorite.
Can Kirby Smart kick the Alabama monkey off of his back? That is the question here.
And this one is an Alabama monkey that knows that they need to win this game just to put everything to rest.
Yeah, because if they lose this game, do I think it drops them out of the playoff?
No, but again, this is like because nobody knows what the committee is going to do. This is
Right.
go win the game and leave no doubt for Bama.
Sure. Bama coming off of what was a tight game, rivalry game, of course, as was Georgia's game.
That was a good game.
Yeah, those were two good games between Georgia Tech, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn. Those are two
Yeah.
solid games. Man, this is a tough pick for me. I like how Georgia's looking, and I don't see Georgia losing this game twice this time around. I'm going to take Kirby and I'm going to take the Bulldogs.
Same here. I got Georgia.
Yeah.
Just Kirby, his teams play best at the end of the year. This is what they
They
do.
do. They do. They do.
Number two, Indiana. So this one is 7 p.m. on Fox. Number two, Indiana, and number one, Ohio State for the Big Ten. Both teams are undefeated. Ohio State is a 4.5 point favorite in this game.
I think, well, in crazy enough, like matchup predictors like in Indiana in this game. I just don't see it yet. I mean, they've looked outstanding, but where they have shown signs of weakness at times, Ohio State has simply not. Ohio State has looked every bit of the number one team throughout this entire year. And the one question mark I had was, okay, are they going to be able to get over that Michigan hump? They did so with flying colors on the road. I have no doubt they are well within their mindset. They know what's in front of them. They want to win a national title. And this is just another slight hurdle on the way to get there. And I think they clear it without even touching the bar. Give me Ohio State.
Yeah, same. I got the Buckeyes. I don't think Indiana's a bad team. It's just
No.
Ohio State's been here before, man.
Well, and they're just that much better, I think.
Just what this program does. And then the other 7 o'clock game on ABC, 7-5 Duke Blue Devils playing the number 18 Virginia Cavaliers. Virginia's 10-2. Virginia is favored only by 3.5 in this game.
And it was interesting because this was a road game at Duke earlier in the season, and they won like 34-17. It wasn't even that close of a game, really, on the road at Duke. So it's, oh, this one is very, very interesting. You got to think Virginia knows what they're doing. Rematches are always tricky.
Yeah.
But it's going to be Virginia, I think. I just don't see Duke putting it all together for this game. God help us all if they do.
I'm picking Duke for the chaos.
Fine, I'm about it. Give him get some chaos in there, because I mean that would be amazing.
Well, I'm 2 games up on you, so that would close the gap considerably.
It would.
All right. Well, that's all I got, man.
Yeah, it's one of those weird weeks. You're on the backside of the season. You had couple things. So we did have a couple questions. I'll ask you this because it's been brought up around. If you had to give our regular season a grade, what is your grade for the regular season?
I think it went from about an A plus to a B minus, or maybe a solid B. I mean, if you step back and you just look at the record and realize that we're going to the playoffs, then it's an A, right? It's not an A plus because we blew it. Maybe an A minus. How about that? We'll say an A minus. If you can look at it objectively, take the emotion out of losing to Texas, A minus or B plus. I think it's a disappointment we didn't get to Atlanta. I think that probably knocks it down to maybe in the B range, just because to have a season like that to not even make it to Atlanta. And I get that some of that was out of our control with
Right.
tiebreakers, but and maybe that's part of it. It feels like such a letdown. But I mean, if you're just talking about regular season, I mean, I'd probably give it an A minus. I mean, you lost a game, but you went 11-1, man. You beat Notre Dame on the road. You beat LSU in Baton Rouge.
Well, and I was going to say, if I had to give grade, it'd be A minus. And the reason why I went with A minus was because I literally just did the math. You've got 11 out of 12 correct, so that's a 91.666, whatever. You can take a couple points off of that if you want, because that was a rivalry game to end the season and you didn't get it done. But even then, we'll say it's a 90. Okay, congratulations. That's an A minus. You did, I mean, leaps and bounds over the previous season and what we had expectations under Jimbo Fisher at times. You've exceeded those in terms of getting us positioned for a playoff spot. You're going to have a home game at Kyle Field. You've done everything in your power to position yourself. You did not do everything you needed to do to win in a lot of those games, but you found a way to win those games, like what we saw with South Carolina. But throughout the course of the season, these guys find ways to win. And I have a feeling that with a more healthy team heading into the playoff, we finally get Le'Veon Moss back. Maybe we get Scooby Williams healthy again. These next several weeks are crucial. I'm going to be curious to see if we could boost that to a solid AA plus at the end of this playoff run. As it is right now, you're sitting at an A minus. You did do your job to make the playoff, and that's good enough right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So only had a couple questions, but they're both from Jive Coach G. One
Uh-oh.
football related, one otherwise. So number one, what home playoff game slot is preferred? Would you prefer to be the Friday night game or one of the three slots on Saturday?
I think I'd almost prefer like the 2:30 or 3 o'clock slot.
Okay.
Midday, because it's gonna be kind of cool. So, hopefully sunny midday. You don't take the early slot. And I know everybody loves a night game at Kyle. Like I get it,
Oh, I
right?
love it.
But I don't think our advantage from a 12th man standpoint changes between nighttime or 2:30 slot. I just don't want the early slot.
Yeah, I would say I'd agree. I'd say either 2:30 or the night slot on Saturday would be my picks.
Yeah.
I'd agree with you. I'd
Or
completely
I
agree.
mean But again, like if you get to play Friday, you get one extra day,
That's
right?
true.
Conceivably. So it's, yeah, I just love, I think I'm just kind of conditioned to it. Like the 2:30 to 3 o'clock slot is the prime slot. But I'll take a night game at Kyle, Friday night, either Friday night or Saturday afternoon. Those would be my requests.
Okay. We can live with those. All right. And secondly, well, who have been your mentors in your career? Has it been easy to find someone willing to give you the inside scoop and guide your career path, or has it been a lonely journey to find your path?
Oh gosh, I mean, I have mentors, and not even just, professionally. I mean, some of my bosses in the Army. One very specific, my relief commander, Eric Kolasar. When I was at the tomb, it was just one of those leaders that you want to emulate, obviously in the Army they teach you a ton about leadership and leadership development and blah 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 blah.
Right.
And my approach was always, you're going to have good leaders, you're going to have bad leaders, right? Like that's
Yes.
just a fact of life. You're going to have great bosses, you're going to have really crappy bosses. And all you can do is, again, when you have a good boss, realize what the attributes they possess to make them a great boss are and try and internalize those. And then when you have a bad boss, realize the attributes that you think makes them a bad boss and try to avoid those. I think you actually end up learning more from bad bosses than you do from good bosses, quite frankly, when it comes to your own personal development and your leadership development.
Right.
But I've had academic mentors, I've had professional mentors, in real estate, obviously my boss, Megan. I mean, she's been a huge mentor, and another agent on our team, but at the time she was my transaction coordinator, Michelle Edrington. She was a huge mentor professionally just because, she'd been in the industry for so long. Yes, I mean, she'd worked at a title company before she came to Megan. And so she just a wealth of knowledge. So, yeah, it's just one of those things where the more mentors you have, the better you are, because it's really important to understand your flaws. Because once you understand them, you just need the humility to ask for help.
Absolutely. As far as for me, I mean, I had plenty of great individuals that I leaned on early on in real estate. It was Michael Clapp. He was a fantastic broker down there in Kingwood. He was a very helpful point of contact and a guy that I still interact with on a fairly regular basis. He's great, great boss to work with. As far as within the music industry, as far as mentors, hard to argue. Randy, so we had a good friend of mine by the name of Randy Culver. He's the guy who initially taught me how to play bass, but was regular at our church. And he did a lot of good mentoring for me and helping me out and understanding just some of the more musicality side of things. And that was really nice to have as a young individual. As far as within our as far as the work industry, I mean, Carson's been a fantastic boss. I love working for the guy. I mean, I've been with him for 4 years. Wouldn't ask to be in any other band right now because I mean that's the guy. He works hard for us. He takes care of us. Obviously, he's good people, and being able to lean on some of his laid backness, but also his firmness when he needs to be firm. Like that's the thing. Like he lets you do your job, but if you're not doing your job, it's gonna be a corrective action. And I think that's the way it should be at times. Let the people do their job and expect them to do their job because they know what they're doing. And if we have questions, we'll go up and ask them later. But that's been a very helpful thing for me, is being able to work with guys like that. And honestly, Greg Nelson has been a fantastic boss down there at Music Lessons one-on-one. He always looking to help coach me up on playing guitar, keeping me accountable, keeping the rest of the crew accountable. Calling out individual issues where they are, but move everybody forward. And that's what you want to see in a business. Everybody moves forward.
It's like deep thoughts from the Red Ass Podcast.
Yeah. Like, thanks for that. Really appreciate that. That was a cool question, especially after all this hoopla nonsense about football and rivalries. It's all good. But yeah, guys, we appreciate y'all listening in today. Be sure to check us out on the Red Ass Podcast. We have Instagram. We got the old Twitter. I don't call it X Twitter. I just it's program Twitter. Has been forever. I don't know why I have to keep flipping. It's so annoying. Whatever. But you can follow us on there. Be sure to follow myself. I'm Rob the Slapper on both. Be sure to follow Roy May 15 on Twitter, Roy May Jr. on Instagram, as well as the Red Ass Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, click the bell icon so you know when we're uploading. And of course, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, oh, these two Aggies, they don't know what the hell they're talking about, just leave a comment. It's okay. We will read them. I won't block you for saying something stupid unless
And
you really get
DMs are
mad.
open. DMs are open for any content you might like us to cover as well.
Absolutely. We're having a good time talking football here, but that's about to start cooling off as we go into the fall. We'll have some basketball talk and we'll have some other stuff going on, but at the end of the day, we want we want to say what you guys want to hear. So feel free to give us what you want. And we'll obviously dive into it. We'll give it at least a little flavor. I
You're
think it'll
good.
be fun. Yeah. But I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the ever living hell out of this cold weather right now, man. And the playoff.
Yes.
Give them to us.
Hello, the playoff committee.
Gig them.
There you go.